Thanks for reading, Mel. Good morning, everyone. Let me add my welcome to Nick's. My name's Pete. I'm one of the clergy team here at All Saints, and it's great to be with you this morning. Thanks, Nick. That's actually really helpful. As we begin this morning, I've got a question for us. What is the next big event in your diary? What is coming up that is looming in your mind that's coming up in your diary? I guess for lots of us, it would be Christmas, kind of making sure we've got all the presents ready. Have we ordered the turkey, or there's not enough, so it's going to have to be beef this year. Maybe you're starting a new job, or you're looking forward to retiring. Maybe you or someone you know is getting married. Big events that we need to be ready for. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be thinking about being ready for the single most important event that is still to happen in history. We're going to be thinking over these 4 weeks about the return of Jesus Christ, and that we've been singing about, that we've been thinking about already this morning. And this Advent series, we're going to be asking, are you ready? And we're going to be hearing from Jesus what it looks like to be ready. Well, that's enough by way of introduction. Here's point one. Jesus is coming back. We need to orientate ourselves in these two chapters. And the whole of the two chapters, apart from the first two verses, are a little conversation, a kind of a question time between Jesus and his disciples, where they're up on the hill of the Mount of Olives, just outside Jerusalem. Verse 3, here's their questions. Okay, they're asking this. Verse 3. Flick back over the page with me. They say, verse 3, tell us, halfway through the verse, they said, when will this happen? They're talking about the destruction of the temple. And what will be the sign of your coming, the second coming of Christ, and of the end of the age? They're asking, when are you coming? When are you coming back? How are we going to know? And this is a great question for the disciples to be asking. They understand the gravity, the importance, the wonder of that moment and what it's going to be like. And in case we don't know, or it'd be helpful to have a bit of a refresher, here is a background, a kind of timeline of the three biggest events in history. Okay, event number one here, right at the beginning of the world, the first biggest event is when God made the world. I'm an impressionist artist, just in case you wondered. God makes the world, and he makes it really good, and there's this wonderful relationship between God and his people. It is wonderful. It is beautiful. But the people don't want that. Adam and Eve, they rebel. They say, no thanks to God. We don't want you. And God has to send them out of his presence. It's an awful, terrible day. Death enters the world. Let me come to our second biggest event in history. Okay? Jesus' first coming. And we celebrate it at Christmas, and the baby we celebrate at Christmas grows up to die on a cross. Because for thousands of years, God has been preparing his plan to bring people back into relationship with him. And these are the first two biggest events, God making the world and God coming into the world to save that world, to bring us back into relationship. But you and I know the reality, right? We don't fully experience all of the benefits of that relationship now. The world isn't back to its perfect, brilliant state at the beginning of the story. Which is why we're all waiting for the third most significant event in history. Jesus' second coming. I'm afraid the artwork doesn't get any better. And you and I live in this period here. Okay, here we are. You and I are living in this period here between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. And Jesus, in his little question time, tells his disciples what they should expect in this time. And he says it won't always be easy. There'll be earthquakes, there'll be wars, there'll be a miserable time, there'll be pain, there'll be difficulty. But in verse 30, look at it with me, he talks about his second coming. He says, "Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man," that's a title of Jesus, "coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other." Jesus' second coming, that single most important event that's still to happen in our diaries, is going to be a wonderful day for people who trust in Jesus. The references in that verse to the Son of Man are looking back to Daniel 7. You might want to write that down and read it later. Daniel chapter 7, where God makes this amazing promise about someone who's going to come and rule. God's going to give them all power and all authority. They're going to rule and get rid of all evil, all the bad stuff, all the terrible things that happen in this world. Wars and earthquakes and all of that will be over when this person returns. And Jesus is saying, that is me. I am coming back. Jesus is coming back, and it's going to be a wonderful day. As exciting as Christmas Day will be, as exciting as retiring might be, as exciting as getting married might be, all of those events are going to pale in significance compared to the day that Jesus returns. It will be a truly wonderful day when all the terrible and bad things of this world will end. Which is why it's the most important event coming up in your diary. You know when you put important events in, you write them in, and then you kind of, you circle around them. Because you're like, yeah, I want myself to know this is really important. Well, you and I need to put in our diaries that Jesus is coming back. We need to circle it. We need to remember it in our minds. And the disciples, like I said, they ask a question. They say, what is going to be the sign? Essentially, when is this going to happen? It's the right question, isn't it? We want to know which date to write that in, where to circle. And Jesus, in verse 36, finally gets to their answer. Flick over the page. Look at verse 36 with me. He says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." In some ways, it's slightly disappointing, isn't it? You kind of want Jesus to say, well, it's going to be this day, this month, this year. And he doesn't. Instead, he says, I am coming back, but not even I know the day. Not even the angels know. And this is a big theme in our verses that we heard read today. Verse 35, but about that day, definitely coming, but no one knows. Verse 42, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. We don't know, but he will come. Verse 44, so you must also be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Jesus will come, but people don't know when. Now, you might know this, but people over the centuries have tried to predict when Jesus is going to come back. And one such person is Harold Camping. If we can have his picture up on the screen. Here he is, here's dear old Harold. He's an American. He's not with us anymore. But he predicted that on the 6th of September 1994 was the exact day when Jesus was going to return. And the 6th of September came and went. No clouds of heaven, no Jesus, no trumpet call, no nothing. So Harold revised his date to the 29th of September. Still nothing. 2nd of October. Still nothing. So it all went a bit quiet. Until 2005, when he kind of got it all going again, and he said, look, we've got 6 years. 2011, May the 21st is when it's going to happen. And it was a big campaign. He got people really excited about this date and getting them to turn to Jesus before it was too late. The 21st of May came, and it went.
And Harold, again, went very quiet.
Until a year later, 2012, where he released an open letter admitting he was wrong to try and predict the day that Jesus would return. And he quoted our verse, quoted this verse, verse 36, that his critics were absolutely right, that nobody knows the day or hour when Jesus will return. He finally got it. And the point is here, when Jesus says, no one knows, the point isn't that, well, kind of no one knows, maybe it's not really going to happen, a bit not sure. No, that's not the point. The point is, no one knows. It could therefore be today. No one knows. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be the day after. Because Jesus spells out, in verses 37 to 41, that it could be today. Jesus is going to return on a day that looks very, very normal. And he points to how this was similar to the days of Noah. Verse 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Back in Noah's day, eating, drinking, marrying, and then the flood. And Jesus says his coming will be a bit like that. Not that it's going to be very wet, not that there'll be a big boat, but that people will be continuing their normal lives. They'll be having breakfast, bran flakes, or whatever your brand of cereal is. They'll be going to Costa for a coffee. And then Jesus will return. It'll be like any other day. It could be today. It could be after your roast dinner, this Sunday lunch, or whatever you're having. It genuinely could be today, is what Jesus is telling us here. It'll be a day where people are working too, possibly. Verse 40 and 41, two men will be in the field, one taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the handmill, one will be taken and the other left. People are going to be working in London. They're going to be driving the delivery vans. They're going to be at home doing the washing, putting out the bins, doing their tax return. It's going to be like any other day, and then Jesus is going to return. The point is clear. He's going to return. It's the next biggest thing in your diary. Are you ready? Because Jesus says that we need to be ready. This is our second point. So, he's coming back. So, be ready. Slightly briefer with the second point, you'll be glad to hear. Look down at verse 42. Jesus says, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Keep watch. Stay alert to the fact that I'm coming. Like I said, it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be the day after. Keep watch on all of those days and the days after if he hasn't come yet. Now, at this point, I could tell you a good story about when I worked as a security guard at Tesco's and I had to keep watch and then chased someone through a car park. But I'm not going to do that because Jesus gives us an illustration himself. Verse 43. Understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. It's a bit tricky, but I think it works like this. If you know exactly when a thief is going to come to your house, say 3 a.m., you've kind of got it booked in. If you know when a thief is coming, well, you know what to do. You wake up at 2:50, you have your alarm set, and you sit there waiting with your baseball bat in one hand and 999 on the phone in the other. You don't need to keep watch all night if you know when the thief is coming. But that's not how thieves work. They don't book in. You don't know when they're coming. And therefore, we have to kind of keep watch, in a sense, all the time. We've always got to be alert to people that might nick things. That's why we have locks on our doors and we shut the windows when we go out. And in this one very simple, I stress, this one way, Jesus is a bit like a thief. He's going to come when you don't necessarily expect it. Jesus says, so you must be, this is verse 44. You must be ready, says Jesus, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect him. Now, I don't know about you. As I've been preparing this, I've realized I'm basically not very alert to Jesus' second coming. I'm not really keeping watch very often. The things of this life consume me, like trying to work out what I'm going to give my wife for Christmas. Now, Jesus says to you and me then, be ready for my return. Make it the single most important event in your diary. Don't forget about it. I wonder, do you believe that Jesus is coming back? Do you believe? Are you watching out for his return? To go very briefly back to Harold, he might have got lots wrong. He was a church leader, and I wouldn't have wanted him to be my church leader. But Harold got one thing right. He was absolutely alert. He was keeping watch for Christ's return. Fair enough, he got the wrong day. But he absolutely knew that Jesus was returning. We could really learn from him about how much he had it soaked into his mind, soaked into his psyche, that Jesus was really coming back. As I said, I find this difficult to remember. I'm not very alert to it. And a member of the church family earlier this week was telling me about a little trick they had. So I thought I'd share it with you and maybe try and fob it off as my own. So each day, I've been doing this a bit this week, each day you open the curtains in the morning, you look out at the world and you say, this is a day that Jesus could return. You open the curtains, you say, this is a day when Jesus could return, and that's going to be a wonderful day. Jesus says, be ready. And in the coming weeks, we're going to see other things. We're going to see other things of what it means to be ready for Jesus' return. But it starts by just getting it etched in our minds, really believing that Jesus is going to come back, and that it could be today. Open your curtains every day. Remind yourself that today is a day that Jesus could return. And this is important because it really does matter. We don't have time to look at verses 46 onwards. Sorry, 45 to the end. Nick will do a good job of summarising them next week, I'm sure. Actually, I think it's Steve. Sorry, Nick. But those verses tell us it really matters that Jesus is coming back. I've already tried to persuade you a little bit by telling you about the Son of Man. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. And the little story here gives two different outcomes for people who are ready and who people who aren't. For those who are ready, it's going to be really good. But there's also the warning in verse 51. There'll be weeping, gnashing of teeth for people that are not ready. It's really serious. Are we ready for Jesus' return? Use this Advent, use this short series in Matthew 24 and 25 to get ready for Jesus' return. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Open your curtains every day and be ready for that day of return. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you tell us that Christ is going to return, that you're going to come back in the person of your Son. Thank you that on that day, all pain and hurt will cease. It will be really good for us if we trust in Jesus. Please help us when we forget that that's coming. Please help us when we are distracted by thinking other things are more important and more exciting. Help us to remember that you're coming back each day, and it's going to be wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen.